So this week is not only the first Shabbat of 2024, which has its own level of excitement, I imagine, but has absolutely no significance whatsoever on the Hebrew calendar. But this Shabbat is the start of something else. Last week, we ended reading the book of Genesis. So this week, we are beginning reading the book of Exodus. In Hebrew, who knows the name of the book of Exodus in Hebrew of our students here? I'll give you a hint. It might be on the board behind the ark behind us. It's not the first one, which is Bereishit. It's the second one, which is Shemot. Now, anyone know how a Torah portion or a book of the Torah gets its name? We sort of know. We think we know. Alexandra, what do you think? Ah, so it might be the first word. It's actually the first significant word. So sometimes it's the first word, like Bereishit, bara, Elohim. Right? In this case, it's the second, Elah Shemot. These are the names. And in particular, when you get into Leviticus, where they all start, Vayedaber Adonai El Moshe Lemor, you can't call them all Vayedaber. So the first significant word, exactly right. Shemot, or Shmot in the Smichut form, means names, because this Torah portion, the book of Exodus, starts with a list of all of the names of all of the Israelites who had come down with Jacob to the land of Egypt. So the book and this week's portion is called Shemot after all of the names. Now, it is the book of Exodus, so we're going to get into that whole story, Moses, Pharaoh, plagues, splitting of the sea, Ten Commandments. All of that will come in the next couple of months. Tonight, I want to focus on actually what Shemot means. And I want to share with you a story I may have told before, but it's one I particularly like. It's from Rabbi Mark Gelman's book, Does God Have a Big Toe? The name of this particular story is called Adam's Animals. So listen carefully and see if you can get the moral of the story and why names are important, because there might be a quiz when I'm done telling the story, just to check. All right, here's the story. God made and named almost everything in the world. God made and named heaven. God made and named earth. God made and named the sun and the moon and the stars and the waters. God made and named almost everything. God even made and named the first man. What was his name?
Adam,
exactly right, which means red earth, because it comes from the Hebrew word Adama. Adam, Adam, Adama. That was what God made the first man out of. But did you know God did not name the animals? God thought, I want Adam and Adam's children to protect and care for these animals. Maybe if I let Adam name the animals, he'll get to know them better and really take care of them. Well, when Adam heard that he got to be the one to name the animals, he was so happy, he ran right over to a brown furry with teeth who was sleeping under its tree, and he yelled into his ear, I am going to name you. The brown furry with teeth opened one eye, yawned, and went right back to sleep. Well, Adam certainly very soon realized he didn't know exactly what to name the brown furry with teeth, or for that matter, any of the other animals. Adam sat down on the sleeping brown furry with teeth to think of a plan for coming up with a name for the animals, and suddenly it came to him. I know, he said, I'm going to give each animal a number, and that way when I want an animal, I can just call its number and it'll come running. Adam looked down at the brown furry with teeth that he was sitting on, lifted up its ear and shouted, you are number one. The brown furry opened one eye, yawned, and went back to sleep. Adam spent the rest of the day numbering the animals. He gave numbers to the slimy swimmers with no fins, to the fuzzy hoppers with twitchy noses, to the squeaky flyers with colored feathers, to the chirping swingers with curling tails, to the speedy crawlers with tiny feet, the scaly swimmers with red eyes, and a whole bunch of gray, black, and white furries with teeth who looked like they might have been related to number one. In the late afternoon, though, somewhere between the numbering of the tiny sand diggers and the swarming wood eaters, Adam lost count. He plopped down again on the brown furry with teeth to think of another plan for naming the animals. After a time, Adam decided, "I will call all of the animals, Hey You. That way, when I need an animal, I'm only going to need to remember one name." The next day, Adam needed this big rock, this big boulder moved out of the way. And he wanted the large, gray, wrinkled up, long nosed, big eared, white tusked tree eating stomper for the job. So he yelled, "Hey, you, come over here and move the rock." But instead of the large, gray, wrinkled up, long nosed, big eared, white tusked tree eating stomper, a rather small, quite noisy, banana eating, chirping swinger hopped on top of the rock and began eating a banana. Adam was quite discouraged and returned to the brown furry with teeth to think up a new plan for naming the animals, but this time nothing came to him. Well, then the brown furry woke up, shook Adam into a nearby bush, growled a huge growl, looked at Adam in the eye and said to him, "Listen to me. With all of your talking, you never once thought to ask us, the animals, what we would like to be named. Why don't you try that? Now, I don't know what they call a skinny, hairless, red earth footwalker like you, but they call me a bear." So, Adam asked all of the animals what they wanted to be called, and do you know what? They told him, and that is how Adam named the animals. So what do we learn about names from this story? What do we learn about names from what Rabbi Gelman tells us? John, what's something you learn about names? That you can recognize that names are useful for recognize someone. Can't say, oh, yeah, Vivian. That's right, you should ask people what their names are or what they like to be called. What else might we learn about names? That everyone has a, different name. That's right, man. That's right. That's right. We need a little bit of identity for our names. Lots of good things we can learn about names, right? Our sages taught every person has three names. A name that their father and mother gives them, a name that other people call them, and a name that they acquire for themselves. So take a quick second, turn to somebody next to you and share with them, what is the name your parent gave you? What is the name or a nickname that others call you? And what name do you think you might have acquired for yourself? If you're at home, you can play along in the chat or chat someone directly to find that out. What is the name your parent gave you? What's the nickname that you get called? What name have you acquired for yourself? Now, does anybody have a nickname that they really like? Does anybody have a nickname they really don't like? Does anybody have a name that they really like? Does anybody have a name they don't like so much? I use my middle initial, that's why. What's special about the name that we acquire for ourselves? What does that mean? That's a name that we earn. That's our reputation, maybe, or our qualities or our essence. Our sages actually knew that this was most important because they also taught there are three crowns, the crown of the Torah, the crown of the priesthood, and the crown of kingship. But the crown of a good name, of a Shem Tov, surpasses all of them. So friends, on this Shabbat Shemot, the Sabbath of names, we pray that we may come to know our own essence and our qualities and our own true name, what makes us us. We pray we always can strive to live up to who we are, and that we always conduct ourselves in such a way as to be deserving of our Shem Tov, of our good name. Ken Yehi Ratzon, may this be God's will, and together we say, Amen. Now, there are some folks who during this month may be celebrating an anniversary of when they got their name, when they were born. There are a couple people, I'll say that differently, because on the first Shabbat we do children's, so anybody under the age of, let's say, 18 or 21, who is celebrating a birthday in the month of January, would you come on up for a birthday blessing? I know there are a couple of you who are here. Come right over here, friends. Rebecca, what day is your birthday on?
The
28th. The 28th. What day is your birthday?
Today.
Today is your birthday. Excellent. Well, what day is your birthday? And I should ask, what day is your birthday too? Come stand over here all together. And we have one more friend coming up to our birthday celebration. Fantastic. What day is your birthday?
Probably on the 21st.
On the 21st, then how old are you going to be?
She's going to be 3.
3. Are you guys going to be older than 3? A little older than
9.
9. Excellent. Birthday twins and twins. Fantastic. Why don't you guys all come right over here? Now, there are other kids in our congregation who have birthdays during January. They're not here right now. Will you accept this blessing for them as well as for you all? Okay, great. So, Eloheinu v'Elohei avoteinu v'imoteinu, our God and God of our ancestors, happy children of yours have come into your presence in the midst of this sacred congregation to give praise for the blessing of another year of life. We ask, O God, for them, that in this new year ahead, that their eyes be open to seeing the wonders of the world around them, that their ears be open to hearing the needs of others, that their hearts be open to loving and to being loved, that their hands be open to doing good work in this world. We pray, O God, that their legs and feet carry them forward into a year of great blessing, a year of friends and family, of health and of happiness and of all good things for this year to come, for them and for us all, as together we say, Amen. Amen.